And we're holding on Kuf Lamed Gimel Amud Beis, five lines from the bottom. We've been talking about the last couple of Mishnayos that a father does have the right to disinherit his children, Mishum Matana, according to the Chachamim, even Mishum Yerusha, according to Rabbi Yechon ben Breka. Our Mishnah had said, though, that if he writes out giving away his Nechosim to others, then Einu Chachamim Noicha Hemenu, the Chachamim are not happy with such a person. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel said, it depends whether his children were Noig and Keshura, whether they were acting properly, and we have the story of Yosi ben Yezer, which the Gemara had tried to prove one way or the other from it, whether the Chachamim disagree with Rabbi Shimon Gamliel or not. We said that actually the fact is that Shmuel had told Rabbi Yehuda, don't get involved in such things of writing and giving away Nechosim from one child to another. Elsewhere, by the way, the Gemara points out that the Bechlal, a father, should be careful not to show preference to one child over the other. We see that Yaakov gave the Ksonis Tasim to Yosef, and all kinds of trouble developed from that. Yeah. Okay. So the Gemara says, turn it up.
At least his children, other children were good children.
This is also true, yeah.
But here, Mr. Okay. Says, if it's, you know.
Okay, so the Gemara says, turn it up. There was a case with a person like that whose children weren't acting properly. Omad Bakostav Nechosav LeYonasan Ben Uziel. So he went and wrote out a document giving all of his Nechosim to Yonasan Ben Uziel. So one way of understanding what was going on over here is basically that he's gonna give them to him. You can use them for whatever you want. I don't intend that you should give it to my children. He didn't say beferush, but in effect, that he's giving it to Yonas and Menuziel with the understanding on the face of it that he's not going to give it to the children.
Because
he could have given it to them directly. Ma also Yonas, and we'll talk about in a minute how Tosfos and a number of other Rishonim learn the story a little differently. Anyway, so he went and wrote out a document that his Nechosim are given as a present to Yonas and Menuziel. Ma also Yonas and Menuziel. Machar shlish, he sold one third of it. Vehiktish shlish, he was makdish one third of it. Yonas and Menuziel, as we're going to say soon, was a Talmud of Hillel. He lived when the second Beis Hamikdash was still standing, so he was able to give some of it to Hektish. The Hechzer, the bonach shlish, and he returned one third to the children.
One third.
So he did that, in other words, in order to demonstrate that it's fully his to do whatever he wants with. The selling and the being makdish was to demonstrate that it's his to decide freely on his own what to do with, and therefore he's entitled to give some of it to the children if he wants.
Why not his brother?
Because it's three parts. One for one to sell.
One part left for himself.
Why should he want to keep anything for himself? He's not interested in gaining something at somebody else's expense.
A third,
yeah.
That makes a whole.
Three thirds is a whole. So he didn't keep anything for himself. It's 33%.
Oh, okay.
So 33% to he sold. So okay, the 33% that he sold, I guess you could say maybe he kept the money for that for himself. I don't know. We don't know what he did with that money. Whatever the case, the point was that Rashbam says it was more to demonstrate that he has free rein to do with it whatever he wants. Ba'al of Shammai b'makla the Tamiloi. Well, Shammai came to argue with Yonas and Menuziel with his stick and with his bag, which is an expression meaning, in other words, that he came to argue with, not really angry, but to argue very strongly against him. How could you do that? The guy specifically didn't want that you should give it to his children. How could you override that? Omaloi, in other words, Shammai figures, you know, mitzvah l'chaim divrei ames. The father doesn't want it to go to his sons. And you can't say it's a matter of Yerusha, because the intention was that it should be a pikodin given to Yonas and Benaziel, and not that it should go to the children. So Omaloi, so Yonas and Benaziel answers him, Shammai, imati yochal lahotzi es nasha macharti, if you would be able to take away what I sold, or mashe ikdashti, and what I was makdish, ati yochal lahotzi mashe echzarti, then yes, you'd be able to take away what I gave to them. But if not, in other words, if you have to agree that I had every right to sell or to be makdish parts of it, then then you're also not able to take away what I gave to them, because it was fully mine and it's my decision. In other words, the father left it completely in my hand to decide what I can do with it. As the Rashbam phrases it, you can't say it's a half a gift. If I can't give it to his son, then I myself wouldn't be able to have hanah from it either, as the Gemara is going to now point out from a story that we learned in Masechta Nedarim. So Yud Shammai have to agree that the hekdesh and the mechira were valid. Well, then in that case, you'd have to agree that the matana to them was valid as well.
Shammai is not arguing that it wasn't a good thing. Shammai is just saying, how can you go give it to the children?
No, because as the Gemara is going to show now that Shammai was thinking on the basis of a story from Masechta Nedarim, which the Gemara is going to quote now, since the father never intended for it to go to his children, then maybe Yonason doesn't have the right to do that.
Did he spell it out?
No, he didn't, but that's the implication. Wait.
Yeah.
Okay. So Shammai implicitly agreed. Omar, he answers back like in a joking way. He tiyach alai ben ozil. He tiyach alai literally means like he threw something at me, like he threw a valid argument at me, like he beat me. And he's saying it to the derech b'dichusa, milsa de b'dichusa, who Rashbam says. He's saying it like in a joking way. You know what? Look at that. Ben ozil got the better of me. Usually, by the way, when you call somebody Ben whatever, it's not always meant as a compliment, like we find, for example, in the Jewish people called Moshe Ben Amram. Here, Ben Yehoyada points out the word Uziel, after all, means strength of Hashem, referring to the Torah. So it refers to that Yonason, with his deep knowledge of Torah, as the Gemara is going to go on to say, he was able to beat me in this.
He also called him Shammai, he didn't call him...
Well, fine, but that was before they started using titles. This is Gadol Merab and Shmoy. This is that Yonason ben Uziel himself, the Gemara is going to show soon, was a Talmud of Hillel. He wasn't necessarily a Talmud of Shammai, so it's not like he has to call him Rebbe or Modi. But the Pashtus, this was at the time before they started widely using the title Rebbe or Rabban, and you say Gadol Merab and Shmoy. Anyway, this is the Rashbam's understanding of what was going on over here. Tosfos and a number of other Rishonim bring a different explanation, that what happened was the father had actually made a neder that his children are not able to have hana from his nechassim, neither when he's alive nor after he died.
Well,
so now what happens? So Shammai figures fakert. When this father gave the nechassim to Yonason ben Uziel, it wasn't to keep it away from his children. Fakert. It was meant as a workaround. It was meant as an end run around that t'nai. So therefore, according to that way of looking at it, Shammai's problem is not that he gave some of it to the children. Adrabah, Shammai figures the father was to begin with intending to use Yonason ben Uziel as a go-between to end up getting it to the children. Rather, Shammai, in other words, here he had made this. We had many such cases in Nedarim, so now the Gemara is going to bring such a case. But he felt bad. What he did in Nayan. So therefore, Shammai's objection is that you're giving it to them, but how does that work? The fact is that there's still a neder over here. And Yonason ben Uziel explains to him that the difference is that in the case which the Gemara is going to bring now from Beis Choron, it wasn't a Matana Gemara. Here it was a Matana Gemara. I have the right, even under the terms of the Matana, to sell or to give to Hekdesh and whatever, and therefore I have a right to give to them, and it's not infringing on the, neder. Tosfos also interestingly brings from the Yerushalmi and Nedarim that tells what seems to be a very similar story, but instead of in our Gemara, it's some unknown person, some unnamed person who made this, who did this and when wanted to take away the nechassim from his children, and Yonason ben Uziel was the go-between and Shammai objected. In the Yerushalmi, it actually tells the story that Yonason ben Uziel himself was the son who his father Uziel wanted him to not have the nechassim, and he gave it to Shammai.
Oh.
So Tosfos says that actually it might be
the opposite.
It might be the same story. But as often happens with stories in Chazal, we sometimes find that the names of the protagonists are switched around.
So the only thing with that is that he said over here that he wasn't Kohagan. And we know Uziel.
We know that Yonason ben Uziel, of course, was Kohagan, but I suppose it's possible. I suppose Tosfos doesn't address that point, but I guess you could say that Yonason were, that still maybe his father didn't realize what he really is. Maybe he thought that maybe he had some reason to think that he's a no good Nick. Maybe, who knows? I don't know.
But he wants him to work and he was learning.
Okay, anyway, whatever. Okay. Anyway. So the Gemara says Meikra Ma'isavar. Fine. What was Shammai's Svara in the first place that there would be a problem over here? The Bach brings a different the Rashbam rather has a girsa v'hu savar. Shammai himself had thought it amounts to the same thing. But in other words, let's analyze what Shammai was thinking when he first came b'makle over Tamilai to argue with Yonis and Menazil. So mishum ma'isa de beis choren. So he thought that it's a problem on the basis of the story that happened in beis choren. The Tanan, we learn in a Mishnah in Masechta Nedarim. There was a person who had made a neder that his father should not have hana from his nechassim. Now this son was marrying off his own son, and he wanted that his father should be able to come to the wedding, even though he had made this neder. He still wanted to have his father be able to be by the wedding. I mean, we have to ask why he doesn't just go to a chacham and be mata neder. I guess you could say in many of these cases either there wasn't a chacham available, or you could say that he wants the neder to be in effect still, but he wants an exception this time. Yeah, he doesn't have a harota on the whole thing, and yeah. Anyway, so for Omar Chaveri, so he says to somebody else, "Hare chotzer usudin asunin l'chab matana." Here, I'm giving you the chotzer where the wedding is going to take place, and the suda itself, all the food, I'm giving you as a present. But he makes it clear, "Ve'enin l'fanecha ela kadesh yavei abba v'yecholim mana b'suda." I'm giving it to you solely for the purpose of that my father should be able to come, should be able to come and eat with us. By the way, actually, as far as the Vuhu Sover, actually, Rashbam brings an explanation that the Vuhu Sover actually goes on Yonason, but the Rashbam says, no, Vuhu Sover is referring to Shammai. Why did he think that it was invalid is based on this story. Anyway, so he said, so again, so the guy in Beis Chorin is saying, I'm giving you all of this only in order that my father should be able to come and eat the suda with us. The Rashbam brings actually that in Masechta Nedarim, which is where this Mishnah is, then the Gemara explains over there, even if he didn't actually say in so many words, even if he just said, I'm giving it to you and my father should come to the wedding, that also amounts to the same thing because it means that it's clear that he's giving it to him only for that purpose. Omoloi, so the friend says, Imshalihein, you know what, if all of those things are mine, Harein Mukdoshan Lashamayim, then I'm deciding, it's mine, I can do with it whatever I want, I'm deciding to give it to Hektish. Omoloi, the original guy owner says, what do you mean, Nasati Lachas Shalish, Hektishim Lashamayim, I didn't give it you my things in order that you should be Makdish.
They were clear reason.
Yeah. Omaloi, so the friend answers that. I see what's going on over here. Loi nasata li eschocha, you know why you're giving me yours? Elashatei atav avicha uchon v'shoisin, because you want that your father and you are going to eat and drink together, umaratz and zelazen, you're going to get along with one another. Rehei oven toli b'roshoi, and the Avera for breaking the neder is going to be on his head, meaning to say on my head. In other words, you're using me as your go-between to get around your neder. And what is it? Because through me accepting your matana, and it's not a real matana, I'm causing you to be over on your neder. So therefore, I'm going to be held responsible by the Eivishter so the friend is saying that. No, that's the friend is saying. In other words, you think you can use me to get around your neder, and then I'm going to be in trouble by Hashem for causing you to be over in your neder. No, I'm not going to do that. If you're going to give it to me, then I have every right to do what I want with it. And if that means being mocked to shit, then I can do that.
Give him heads up.
Yeah. Well, Omer Chachamim. Well, the Chachamim said, you know what? The friend has a point. Kol matana she'ena she'inikdisha mukdeshes. Any matana which is not of the type that you would be able to be makdish it if you wanted Eina Matana, then it's not considered a valid Matana, because he told him clearly that he's giving it to him without intention that he should be able to be makdish it. So now, therefore, so the Rashbam says, this fellow who wrote out his nechassim for Yonason, So Shammai takes the view that this story is similar to the story that is similar to the story in Beis Chorin. He gave it to him on condition that they making it clear that he's doing it not in order to give back to the children. So therefore, he's objecting to Yonason. How could you do that? How could you override? In effect, you're acting like you're in the position of the friend in the story in Beis Chorin, and how could you do that? So Yonason answers back that the difference is that here actually he gave him bestam, exactly. He didn't spell it out, and it's free. He's free to do whatever he wants with it. And in Baharaya, I was able to sell one third of it, and I was able to be makdish one third of it, as opposed to in that story of Beis Choron, where he wasn't able to be makdish it. Tosfos again, following their shitta, that says that, and other Rishonim who learned that the vote was that actually the guy had made a neder that his children shouldn't have hanah from him, so there, and that Shammai thought that the purpose was to give it through Yonason and eventually it would give to his children, so then, and Shammai objected, why didn't you return all of it? And here, when you return only part of it, you haven't been mekayim what the father wanted, so how can it be considered a valid matana? So Yonason explains to him this is different, that Yonason is in effect explaining to him that this is different than the story of Beis Choron.
The point over here is that if the father used him to go around, he should give him the whole thing to the children.
He could, but he's not required to, because the fact is it's a complete matana and Yonason can decide, can make his own decision. In fact, the Rashbam is if he had charata, he would have been matan neder. So we're talking about
he was sick, he couldn't.
Yeah, but nevertheless, the fact is that Yonason is telling him that this is a matana gemura, and therefore it's my decision how much should go to the children, and I evaluate that how much this is. In fact, the reason why did he choose Yonason ben Aziel in the first place, because Yonason ben Aziel was a chosid. He knew that he can trust him to do the right thing, and therefore, yeah. Tosfos also, by the way, discusses over here, and other Rishonim also discuss the point that, wait a minute, what do you mean any matana that you give, that if you makdish it, it's not a valid hekdish? What about the concept of matana al manas lahachzir, which we're going to talk about in a couple of days, Bez Hashem? A classic example every year in Esther, you give a person matana al manas lahachzir, he can't be makdish it. So Tosfos says that. So Tosfos actually first answers that, you know what, in principle he could. He could be makdish it and prevent other people from having anah. Eventually it has to be a matnas lahachzir. So you'd have to buy it back from hekdish if he wanted to fulfill the matana. But nevertheless, in between, he does have the ability to be makdish it, as opposed to in this story in Beis Choron, where to begin with he didn't give it to, he told him that I'm not giving it to you to be makdish. And then Tosfos also brings that, it can't be a matana without it being valid hektish, but what we mean is a weak kind of matana like this, where he's specifically giving it to him, I'm a nas that my father should eat, where then that kind of matana, therefore if he can't also be makdish it, then it's not a matana. In fact, the Ran says that is why, remember, the phrasing he was a little unusual. Kol matana she'ena she'im hikdisha mukdeshes. Any matana that is not, that if he was makdish, it would be mukdash. Why such an odd lashon? Kol matana she'ena yochal hakdisha eina matana. So the Ran explains, similar to the Ri's explanation in Tosfos, that's the point. The Gemara is saying, of course it's possible to do a matana without the ability to be makdish it. For example, matana amanas lahachzir. But when we're talking about a matana like this, which is clearly a harama, you're clearly doing it as an end run around the neder, and the guy doesn't have the ability to be makdish it, as in the story of Beis Choron, so then ain't a matana. So here, Shammai thought that this is the same kind of thing, and he realizes after discussing it with Yonason ben Aziel that it's not so.
He gets it back.
So that's the thing. According to Tosfos' first answer, it's not a problem because he could have it as matana amanas lahachzir, be makdish it, buy it back from hekdish and return it. But according to the second answer in Tosfos, we don't even need that. There's a difference between matana amanas lahachzir, where you are giving it to him as a full-fledged matana without any preconditions, but you just expect to get it back afterwards, where there you haven't told him that he can't be makdish it, so therefore it doesn't matter whether he could or not. Whereas over here, to begin with, you made it clear, the guy from Beis Choron made it clear that I'm giving this to you only in order that my father should be able to come and eat with us, and that's such a weak kind of matana, where it's clearly a harama, where therefore he has to at least leave open the possibility that the guy would also be makdish it, and if not, then it's not considered a matana at all.
So that wouldn't work.
So that's the thing. And Beis Choron, it didn't work. So now Shammai thought that this is the same kind of situation over here, and he realizes after discussing with Yonason ben Aziel that it's not so. So the Gemara comes in. Now that we mentioned Yonason ben Aziel, so the Gemara digresses to talk about him and the other Talmidim of Hillel. Tonan Abanan, Shmoinim Talmidim Hoyle Lehillel Azokin. Hillel HaZaken had 80 Talmidim. Now, he probably had thousands of Talmidim. What I mean is, he had 80... No, not, you're thinking of Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva had his 24,000 Talmidim. He passed away, and then he had five. Hillel HaZaken was saying he had 80. What we mean is 80 primary Talmidim. Obviously, he had the whole Jewish people learned from him, but we're talking about like his top Talmidim, who were constantly learning by him. There were 80 of them. Eight of them were worthy that the Shechina should rest on them like Moshe Rabbeinu. Now, the Marashal actually takes out the words Moshe Rabbeinu, because what do you mean? Nobody had a caliber of Nevuah, like Navi Yisrael Kamosha. Marashal, though, says, the fact is, the Gemara tells us in Sanhedrin, that at one point when Hillel was sitting with the other Skenim, then a Baskel came and said, there's somebody over here who deserves to have the Shekhinah rest on him like Moshe Rabbeinu, but his dirt is not worthy. And the Chachamim gave a look at Hillel, realizing that that's who the Baskel is referring to. So these 30 Talmidim were of that caliber as well. They're worthy that the Shekhinah should rest on them on such a high level, but they're not going to actually have it, so therefore it doesn't violate like Kombi Yisrael Kamosha, but they're worthy, they're of the caliber that they could have that.
So Hillel Talmidim or
this is we're saying Hillel's Talmidim, but the Gemara says in Sanhedrin that Hillel himself one time was sitting with a bunch of the other Chachamim at a Soda, and a Baskel said, there's one person among you who deserves to have the Shekhinah rest on him, like Moshe Rabbeinu, but his daughter is not worthy of it, and the Chachamim all looked over at Hillel, realizing that that's who the Baskel is referring to. So now we're saying of the Talmidim, 30 of them were like their Rebbe in that regard, and they also were worthy of having the Shekhinah rest on them like Moshe. Another 30 are of the caliber where they deserve to have the sun stand still for them like it did for Yeshua. Now, the Rashbam points out the sun stood still for Moshe Rabbeinu as well. We don't have it befeders from the Psukim, but the Gemara in Avodah Zarah learns from Psukim that but with Yeshua we know there was one of the wars against the Canaanim, and he told the sun and moon to stand still, and they did. By Moshe, it says the same thing happened by the war with Sichon, or there's different versions, whether it was the war with Sichon or with Og. Because the Pasuk says that, Hashem says, I'll make you so great that everybody under the heavens will know how great you are, and that refers to stopping the sun and moon, where everybody who was under the heavens, everybody in the entire world, could see what's going on.
Rashi
brings it on the Pasuk. It comes from a Gemara in Avodah Zarah. Anyway, so the Rashbam points out over here, so why is the Gemara saying that they could have it stand still for them like Yeshua rather than like Moshe? Well, reason is because we're saying, you know, because they're not of the caliber of Moshe. They're on a lower level, so therefore we compare them to Yeshua. So Marashah says, in other words, the same way we had earlier in the Masechta, Pnei Moshe k'pnei Chama, Pnei Yeshua k'pnei Levana. Moshe's face was like the sun, Yeshua's is like the moon. So now we're saying this top 30 Talmidim are of the caliber of Moshe Rabbeinu, similar to their Rebbe Hillel. The next 30 are on a lower level, they're to Hillel like Yeshua was to Moshe, and therefore the Gemara compares them to Yeshua. Esrim Beninim, and then there were 20 who were average. Average, obviously, not just Beninim of Tanya, but in other words, average in like they're less special, you know, they're great Talmidim, but like compared to the other ones, yeah.
The ones from the
Beninim of Tanya,
is the
Omer Tzadik. Yeah, this is also true. Gadol The greatest of them was Yonasan ben Aziel. Now, the greatest of them could mean among all 80 of them, although Rabbeinu Gershom says over here it means among the 20 Beninim. That's how he learns. So Godol Shabakulam, Yonasan ben Aziel, Kotten Shabakulam, Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai. The least important of all of them, meaning again of all 80 or maybe of the 20 Beninim, is Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai. Now let's understand how great Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai was. Omru Olival Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai, Shalohi Niyach. He did not leave unstudied Mikra, everything in Tanakh. Mishnah, the Mishnayos, of course hadn't been composed in their final form as they are now, but they already had a form of Mishnayos. In fact, the Gemara in Chagiga tells us they had hundreds of Siddurim of Mishnayos during that time. So he learned all of that. Well, the Mishnayos are the basic halachas, Gemara, and the Svaris to understand the underlying reasons and then the underlying reasons behind the Mishnayos, where the Gemara always says Loi Shanu. This Mishnah is talking about only in this scenario, so he knew all that kind of thing. Halachas, the halachas of Moshe Mitzrayim, he knew all of them. The agados and the agadta, all the midrashim of Psukim. The Rashbam gives examples, for example, Medrash Tanchuma, Bereshis Rabba, Vayikra Rabba. It's interesting, by the way, that he mentions only Bereishis and Vayikra Rabbah, because you actually have Medrash Rabbah on all five Chumashim, but it seems from various bits of evidence that some of them were composed much later. The ones on Bereishis Rabbah and Vayikra, the ones on Bereishis and Vayikra are fairly early Medrashim, the other ones were compiled much later.
Who wrote the Mishnayos? He was...
Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi compiled the Mishnayos. He was generations after Rabbi Yechon Zakeh, but we're saying even before that, they already had something of the Mishnayos. They had the, not so much, well, besides the fact that it was Baal Peh, the point is, in other words, it was all before it was written. But besides that, also, it wasn't necessarily compiled into an absolutely fixed text. Every person would learn it in his own style, but they had the basic halachas that eventually became the Mishnayos. Anyway, so that's halachas v'agodas. Dikduke Torah, all the details, all the little fine details in the Torah, that Rashbam gives an example. We have a vav in the word vizela chematame, from which we learn a din. We learn from that the same way as a dead sheretz is metame, that blood from a dead sheretz is metame as well. Where otherwise we wouldn't have known that. We learn that from the vav of the word vizel. They have a diuk over there. You have one little detail over there in the Torah, one single letter, and you learn an entire din from that. So that kind of thing throughout the Torah, Rabbi Yechon and Zakkai knew all of those. Elsewhere, this Gemara is also in Sukkah. Rashi brings over there other kinds of things like that. For example, other things of letters, for example. For example, where the Torah says about Sukkah that Ha Ezrach, the native born Yid and the Ger, has to sit in the Sukkah, and we learn from the word Ha Ezrach, as the Gemara explains there in Sukkah, that women are potter from the Sukkah. So that's another example where from one letter or one phrase in the Torah, we learn an entire din. So Rabbi Yechon and Zakkai knew all of those. The Dikduke Sofrim, and all the details of the Sofrim, meaning the Chachamim, so all the Xeris that the Chachamim made so that we don't come to Isurei Torah.
That was also not later on?
Some of them were made later, of course, but many of them had already been made by that time. For example, we just learned in Ein Yaakov yesterday, actually, for example, that Shlomo HaMelech made the Xera of Shnius, that you're not allowed to marry certain further out relatives that would have been mutter api Torah, but the Chachamim asked them as a siog la Torah. We have, for example, that was Shlomo HaMelech. He also was misat in the concept of Erevin and the concept of Tilos Yadayim before you eat. And then there were various other Xeris and Takonis, many of them made by the Anshe Knesset Gedola. So yeah, many of the Xeris and Takonis of the Chachamim had already been made by the time of Rabbi Yechon and Zakkai. Yes, there were others that were made later on as well. But yeah. Anyway, so all of those. So all of those, the Kalim v'Chamurim, all the Kavachomers in the Torah, Ugzeris Shavus and all the Ugzeris Shavus in the Torah, the difference being, of course, a Kavachomer, a person can come up with on his own, Ugzeris Shavus, he has to have the Kabbalah from his Rebbeim. Now, this is all things within Torah itself. Then he knew things that are sort of outside, not really outside, but like that are ancillary to Torah, that are not the primary parts of the Torah, the kind of things that the Gemara and that the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos calls parperois l'chochma. They're like desserts and like condiments to chochma. So they include tkufis. He was familiar with all the tkufis, the details of the molad of the Levana. All the details of that, right? The gematrios. Gematrios doesn't just mean what we think of as gematria as the numerical values. In Gemara terminology, gematria can also mean initials. So the Rashbam says, for example, the fact that we say that Anoichi stands for Anon Nafshi Ksodes Yehovis, that Hashem says, I wrote and gave my own soul, so to speak, my own self into the Torah, that's an example of gematria. So he knew those kinds of things. And other examples like that, where throughout Shas and in other places, where we find where we can learn things from initials and things like that. Rashi in Sukkah gives other examples. We have, for example, there are various things that we have a word written in Tanakh and we darshan it using Atbash or other such codes like that. For example, there's places in Sefer Yirmiyah where it refers to Bavel as Sheshach because the bays of Bavel becomes a shin in Atbash. The lamed becomes a chof. So he knew all those kinds of things.
What makes a chaf a lamed?
Because if you count from the aleph base, chaf is the 11th letter, lamed is the 11th letter from the end.
Oh,
that's how Atbash works. Okay. The first letter paired up with the last letter, second letter with the second to last, etc. That's how Atbash works. So the base with second letter becomes shin, the next to last letter, and the chaf becomes lamed. So there's other examples of that, but there's examples of that right there openly in Tanakh, and there's other examples that the Gemara darshins here and there. So that's another meaning of gematrios. Umesholis koivsim. He also knew all of the analogies and parables involving laundrymen. A laundryman we find throughout Chas is like a very low level person, but sometimes you have a moshel can help you understand something in Torah more clearly. So he knew all those mesholim that can be used to illuminate ideas in Torah. The famous idea, for example, that's brought in Chassidus, it says about Shlomo HaMelech, Vaydaba Shloshes Alof Moshel. He spoke 3,000 Mesholim. So there's an explanation in Chassidus what it means. So the different Mefoshim have, of course, many different explanations why after 3,000. But in Chassidus, there's a very interesting idea that it means Shlomo was so far above everybody else. If he wants to teach something in Torah, so fine, he'd give a Moshel to explain what he wants to teach. But not everybody is going to be able to understand that Moshel. So you'd have to give a Moshel of the Moshel. Then you'd have to give a Moshel of the Moshel of the Moshel to reach the even lower people. To get all the way down to the lowest level Yid, he would have to do a chain of 3,000 Mesholim. And then by understanding the last one, you'll be able to understand the next, the last one, and then work your way up from there.
The king, he was doing Shiurim?
Yeah, he was teaching Torah to the people. That's part of the job of a king. Yeah. Anyway, so here we're saying Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai. So we're not saying 3,000 Mesholim, but the point is he knew all these kinds of Mesholim involving even simple people like laundryman that we can use to help us understand ideas in Torah. Umesholis shu'olim, and all the analogies, all the mesholim involving foxes, where we find, for example, the Gemara and Sanhedrin, and a couple of examples of them. Sichas shadim, the speech of the shadim, which means that Ashbam says, for example, to know how to beswear them. For example, he wants to make a kameya. Somebody is sick and needs a cure, and he's going to write a kameya for him. He needs to know what to write in it. He needs to know what phrases, what names and phrases and whatnot to say to the shadim to get them to leave the guy alone. So he knew all that.
The ones that are giving him trouble.
Yeah, the shadim are a half person, half malach. Yeah, and they're the ones who cause trouble. Yeah. The sichas dikolim, and he also knew the speech of palm trees. Now, what does that mean? Rashi in Sukkah says, I don't know what that means. The Rashbam says that it means people talk about the trees, and we find by Shlomo also by Dabra al Eitzim, he was able to teach people about inyonim involving trees. So Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai knew that kind of thing. Rav Shmuel Goyin brings in one of his Shilos Atrubis, he brings a very interesting thing. It means actually that there are people who know how to on a quiet day when there's only a little bit of wind and the trees rustle from the wind. Certain people are able to understand from that what the trees are actually speaking. And he says there was one of the Rosh Yeshiva in Bavel about 150 years before his time had that ability, named Rabbi Avraham Kabasi, had that ability. He had that ability, like Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai, to be able to understand the sichas dikolim, what the trees are saying when the wind is rustling in their leaves.
We need bread.
Yeah. So that's sichas dikolim. The sichas malach ha'shardes and the speech of the malachim, which again the Rashbam says in order to beswear them when necessary. So he knew all of that. The Dover Godol, the Dover Kotten. Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai knew the great matters and the small matters. So what does that mean? Dover Godol Maisa Merkava. The Dover Godol refers to the Maisa Merkava, in Yechezkel, where you have the whole description of Hashem's Merkava and the Chayas and the Ifanim and all that deep ideas in Kabbalah. So he knew all of that. V'dover Kotten, what about the small thing, means Havayah Sabaya V'Rava, means all the discussions and analyses of Abaya and Rava. Now, Abaya and Rava, of course, are long after his time, but in other words, the point is, he knew everything that they're going to discuss, and then the contradictions between the Shnayas and Braises and things like that, and he knew that. So now, later on, the Foshim explained those things later on were forgotten, and that's why Abaya and Rava had to bring up these points again. Remember, Torah Shebaal Peh was still Baal Peh then. So that, but already in his time, Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai knew all those concepts.
And all these things are not going to
come. This is all Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai.
And all
Baal Peh, too. Yeah, what do we mean? How could we call Havaya Sabai Verov a Dover Cotton? So there's actually explanations. The Rashba and the Ritva have long explanations about it in Masechta Sukkah. The Rashba says you shouldn't think there are some people, he says, in his time who thought, if the Gemara is calling it means that learning Nigla is not so important, Chas V'Shalom. He says, absolutely not. That's not what the Gemara means. What it means is they're much more important than anything else. They're much more important than all the sciences and philosophies and whatnot that people might be involved in. We're saying relative to Maisim Erkava, which is the secrets behind why did the Eibishter give us such and such a mitzvah, then relative to that, Habayis Habayi V'Rova, which are going to work out the details of the mitzvah, are Dover Cotton. But not that you should think, Chas V'Shalom, that they're unimportant. And the Ritva says another point as well. Since we're saying that eventually these points were raised by Abaye and Rava, now why do they have to do that? Because they couldn't understand what the earlier Chachamim had said, and therefore they have to analyze and ask questions and give answers or whatever in order to get at the truth. So therefore it's called Dover Katan in the sense it came about only because of the Katnus HaMoichin, only because people in later, the Chachamim in later times, weren't as great as the earlier ones, and therefore they had to delve into what they said and try to understand it. Either way, the point is that we certainly don't say that we should call something in Torah relative to any gashmiyistic thing. Dover Katan, absolutely not. They both stress that point.
Any my initials there means Lubavitchers or
Lubavitcher? I don't know what
you mean. The Sefer Sukkot is probably referring to Lubavitchers. Who's saying Nigel is not that important?
They lived long before. They lived long before Chassidus. But yes, never mind. Okay, done.
Okay.
Anyway. So that's Rabbi Yechonan Zakkai. Lekayim Mashanema. This fulfills like what the pasuk says. Lahanchil oyava yesh. Hashem says, I will give as an inheritance to those who love me. Yesh means a substance, and also the last mishnah in Uktzin says that yesh means shiyud olamus, 310 worlds. And I will fill up their treasuries, meaning Rashbam says, why? Because their treasuries are full of Torah and Chochmah, because they worked hard, like Rabbi Yechim of Zakkai, to master all of these things, therefore Hashem says, I'm going to give them tremendous reward. So not just Rabbi Yechim of Zakkai, but all of these Talmidim as well. Well, if the least of Hillel's Talmidim, or of the 20 Beninim Talmidim, is so great, imagine how great Yonasan ben Uzziel was, the greatest of all of them, or even if we say like Rabbeinu Gershom, that it means among the 20, then imagine how the other 60 were. Amru all about Yonasan ben Uzziel. So they said about Yonasan ben Uzziel, when he was sitting and studying Torah, any bird that would fly overhead over him, Nisraf, would be burnt from the energy of the Torah that he's learning, and particularly Tosfos brings in Sukkah, because there would be Malachim surrounding him, Malachim of fire surrounding him and listening in when he's learning Torah, and their fire would burn up that bird.
The Malachim came down Lamata.
So Malachim would come down Lamata to listen to what Yonasan and Menaziel is learning Torah, and the heat from them would burn any bird that flew overhead.
So this comes with birds. Is that bird we learned it elsewhere also?
And it's brought in the Sefer Sukkah. But the Ritva brings from the Yerushalmi, actually. So the question is, now what about Hillel then? How great, can you imagine how great Hillel was? And so the Yerushalmi says, yes, in fact, the difference is that Yonasan ben Uzziel, the bird would get burned if it flew within four amas of him. Hillel was so much greater, the Rebbe, that even a bird beyond the four amas would get burnt up by the heat of it. With that said, there's a Chassidish Avort on it that Hillel knew how to control and hold in the tremendous amount of outpouring of Ruchnius that comes from him when he's learning, so that it wouldn't affect the birds around him. There's such a Avort.
Birds to keep away.
So this gives us an idea of the caliber of the Chachamim we're talking about over here, that it's far beyond anything that we can imagine. Mishnah says, a famous vort that the Rabbein said, by the way, that you see the difference in this Gemara between a chosid and then somebody who doesn't have the right approach to learning, where a chosid learns this and is overawed by the kedusha that came from Yonasan ben Uzziel, whereas you have a certain other kind of person might start clearing. Well, if a bird flies over him, is he chayav ben izokin and so forth, like missing the whole point that it's meant to make us realize the tremendous kedusha that can be by a person who learns Torah Lishma. Yeah. Okay. Mishnah says, Ha'oimer Zevni, a person says, this is my son, Naaman, then we believe him. So this is a person we didn't know before that this person is his son. So he says, this is my son, Naaman, he's believed, as far as we'll see in the Gemara,
during Tishrei.
Learned this during Tishrei? I mean,
no, we had this little thing about him saying, this is my son, or this is my, oh, he's a guy, he's my Bechor.
That's something else. That's, we said he has the ability to say, this is my Bechor. That's what we're going to talk, we talked about that then. He was saying, and more generally, to say, this is my son. So Naaman is believed for purposes that we'll learn in the Gemara. Ze'ochi, but if he says, this is my brother, which would be relevant as far as Yerusha, and other things like that, Ein Naaman, then, or no, Ze'ochi, a person says, yeah, this is my brother, about somebody we don't know, Ein Naaman, we don't don't believe him insofar as that he should get a portion together with the other brothers. Because, as the Gemara is going to explain, the other brothers disagree and say, this is not our brother. So you have Reuven, Shimon, and Levi, let's say. Now a fellow comes along, Yehuda, and Reuven says, you should know this, Yehuda is also a brother of ours. And Shimon and Levi say, I don't know what you're talking about, he's not a brother.
Says it, or
the brother, one of the brothers, Reuven, says,
pulls him in and says
he's our brother. So Einan Eman, the Yitil Ime Bechelkoi, but since Reuven is saying that he's our brother, so he gets a portion within his chela. So say, for example, the Rashbam says, there were two children originally. There's Reuven and Shimon, let's say. We have three fields over here. So aside from the matter of the Bechor, let's leave out Bechorda for the time being and say each of them would get 1.5 fields because there are two of them split up 3 fields. Now one of them is saying, Reuven is saying, Levi is also our brother. Well, then fine. So he gets a half a field. So in other words, because Reuven is saying in effect, there are 3 of us. Well, if there are 3 of us, then each of us should be getting 1 field because there are 3 fields. Because Shimon and Levi disagree, so we're gonna take part of what Reuven got, and we're gonna give it to Levi. So
the third brother,
right? Levi being this third person that Reuven is saying is their brother, right? So he's saying, so you really would have, so what it is by rights, you are our brother. You should really be getting 1 of the 3 fields. So half of what you should get, I'll give you. As far as the other, my brothers have the rest of it. You go and prove to them that you're our brother, and then you'll get the rest of your nachla from them. Which we'll work out in the Gemara in more detail what's going on over here. Mess. What happens if this Suffolk dies, this Levi in our scenario dies? Then the Nechosim go back to their place. Meaning, in other words, they're the one who gave it to him. So the other brothers don't get part of the Yerusha because Reuven can tell them, look, all this time you were saying this guy is not our brother, you shouldn't be entitled now to take any part of what a... Well, it means also, in other words, even the Nechosim that he got afterwards... that's something else. So Nofla and Nechosim and Mokam Acher. On the other hand, if he gets Nechosim from someplace else, for example, Yerusha, Yushu Echav Imai, then his brothers do inherit that with him as we're going to explain in the Gemara. He's telling them, I'm your brother. But they denied that, but we'll see in the Gemara. We'll work out in the Gemara why it is in that case that they should be entitled to Yarshin him with these other Nechosim. So the Gemara starts off. When we say Zebni Neman, when we're saying that if he says Zebni, then we believe him. Lamai Hilchsa, what halacha is that relevant to?
Think we say Zebni, it sounds like a father saying it. Not...
There's two different cases in the Mishnah. One where the father is saying Zebni, and one where one of the brothers is saying Ze'och. So Zebni Neman, Lamai Hilchsa, what halacha is that relevant to? Amar of Yehuda Amar Shmuel, L'Yoshai, first of all, as far as Yarshining him, where the father is saying, this is my son, and therefore he should be entitled to a share of the Yerusha. The Lifter is Ishtim and Ayibum, and also that it means that since he's my son, the father is dying, and he doesn't have any known children, otherwise his wife would need Yibum. Now he's saying, this guy is my son, and therefore his wife is Potter from Yibum, and therefore my wife is Potter from Yibum.
Yeah, but it could be 2 different wives, right?
Doesn't matter. No. If the father has any children, has any surviving children or descendants, then there's no, it doesn't matter which wife, then any, even without a wife at all, even if he was Mizana with a woman, for example, and had children with her, as long as she's not a goita or a shifcha. If it was a goita or a shifcha, her children are not considered his, lahalacha, so therefore, yeah, but other than
once
that,
once
he has a child who's a Jew, even a mamzer, then yes, all his wives are potter from chalitza and yibum, yeah. So the Gemara asks, L'yoshe pshita. Now you're saying that as far as that he says, this is my son, insofar as now this one can yarshin him, isn't that poshut? Because he could give him as a matana. He could always say, I want to give him as a matana. So there, in effect, he has a migri. In other words, he could say, I have the ability to give it to you as a matana. Therefore, migri, that I could do that, then you should believe also that he's my son. So now, the Rashbam points out, what about as far as Nechosim that he's going to get later on? You could say maybe there's a chiddush in that, because he doesn't have a migur with that. Nevertheless, the Rashbam says, We learned earlier about the Bechor that we said that so the same way as we said about Chelech Bechorah is that the father is believed Yakir. We believe him to say that that this is a Bechor, and that works even for Nechosid that come later on. The same way over here. So the Rashbam says when it comes to somebody who we knew was his son and we didn't know whether he was a Bechor, then we say Yakir tells us that it would work even for the Chosin that came afterwards.
Well, but afterwards it doesn't work even for
the Bechor. Yeah. In other words, once we have somebody, earlier on Daf Kuf Chof Zayin, you were mentioning that we learned a week ago that we have a case where this person is known to be his son, but we didn't know him to be a Bechor. Now. So he's definitely getting a chelik of the Yerusha, no question. The question is whether he's getting a chelik b'chorda. The posik yakir, the word yakir in the posik comes to tell us that he does get the chelik b'chorda on the fact that his father said so, and that will apply even to nechosim that the father gets after he makes that declaration. So the father in Tishrei declared Zebni b'chor, and then in Cheshvan he buys more property, and in Kislev he dies, then this Bechor, that this person he said is a Bechor, this child he said is a Bechor, is going to get a double portion of the Nechosim he got in Cheshvan as well. Wait.
Okay.
The point is, here though, we're talking about somebody that Rashbam says, we never even knew that he was his son in the first place. So now he's coming and saying, he's my son. So this niggery that we're talking about will in fact work only for Nechosim that he had until now. So in this scenario, the father says in Tishrei, he's my son. In Cheshvan, he bought Nechosin. In Kislev, he died. We would not say that the son is entitled to a portion of those Nechosin from Cheshvan, because the Migri can only work as far as Nechosin that the father had before he made that declaration in Tishrei. So therefore, the Gemara is asking, as far as the Nechosin that the father has so far, Pshita, he could give them as a Matana, because he would have had the ability to give it as a Matana already. And as far as any Nechosin that come later on, he doesn't have the ability by saying Zebni to give it to cause him to Yarshin in any way.
Because
he doesn't have them yet. So therefore,
why doesn't get it?
Because we don't have the Migri. How do we know that what he's saying is correct, that this is in fact his son? You're saying because he has a Migri because he could give it to him as a Matana, but he can't give him Matana, something that he hasn't known yet. That's how the Rashbam learns. That's how the Rashbam learns, and actually we learned previously that the Rashbam had brought earlier on Kuf Chof Zayin on the Beis that the father does have an absolute right to say this is my child and so forth. And one answer is that we talked over there. There was a difference between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. How far does the din of Yakir extend? So there we were talking about according to Rabbi Yehuda, where he has broad rights to say this is my son, whereas here we're talking according to the Chachamim. That was one answer. Anyway, there are Rishonim who learn that in fact the question is, the Rashba points out, it's not so poshut, because we're saying he's not believed as far as Nechosim that come afterwards. And anyway, also you have that Gemara earlier. So he explains, sure, the father is believed to say Zebni, that the father will Yarshin even the Nechosim that came later. The Gemara, so the question Pshita is that there's nothing contradicting the fact that this is his son. When you have the case that we talked about earlier about Zebni Bechori, is the other brothers are disagreeing and saying this is not the Bechor. Here we're not talking about, the Rashba says, we're not talking about that anybody is contradicting the father on saying Zebni. So therefore, so the Gemara is asking, it's poshut, that in that case, yes, he could give him matana, and he could, and then there's nothing preventing this son from having the Yerusha. So the answer is, lifter, you're right, there's no chidush in that. Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel had mentioned that incidentally. The real nafkamina is, lifter is ishtem min ayibul, that the father is believed, even to the extent that now as a result of this, his wife is going to be potter from Yibum, even though, again, we didn't know beforehand that this guy is his son. So you would think that maybe she needs chalitza. So the Gemara says, Honami Tanena. We also don't need Shmuel to be telling us that. This also, we have a Mishnah in Masechta Kiddushin. Misha Omer B'Shas Misosa Yeshli Bonim. Person who says, before he dies, I have sons. Nemon, then we believe him, and his wife doesn't need Yibum or Chalitza. Yeshli Achim, but if he says, I have brothers, and therefore, since I don't have any children, my wife is going to need Chalitza or Yibum. Eina Nemon, then we don't believe him to ask her to marry anybody else, for reasons that the Gemara is going to explain in the next couple of lines. So therefore, so again, why would the Tana have to mention in our Mishnah the concept of Neman, and why does Shmuel have to explain Lepoitra Mina Yibum if we can see that from that Mishnah in Kedushin? The answer is Hosam Deloy Muchsakon Va'och. The difference is the Mishnah in Kedushin is we didn't know whether he has any brothers yet. So now he's telling us he has brothers, and therefore he's changing her chazaka. Till now she had a chazaka. She's not going to need Yibum because there's no brothers. Now he's telling us that he has brothers, which is going to change her chazaka, and he doesn't have the ability to do that. Here we're talking about Afagav the Muchsak Le Ba'och, even where we know already that he has brothers. So in other words, the Rashbam says in that case, it's kind of a sex faker. Maybe he doesn't have any sons, and maybe even if he does, he doesn't have any brothers, and in that case, there's nobody to do Yibum anyway. The Rashbam goes on and discusses in a little detail, compares this with the Gemara in Kedushin on the subject. Anyway, here we're talking about, even though we know already that he has brothers, so now when he says Zebni, which is going to change that Chazaka and say, till now we said he has brothers, and till now we knew he had brothers, meaning there's going to be candidates for Yibum. Now all of a sudden he's coming and telling us, Zebni, this is my son, meaning never mind those brothers, my wife is Potter from Yibum. Then we're saying that nevertheless the Mishnah is saying that he has a Migri. When that Migri counteracts the Chazaka.
What's Migri?
What is the Migri? That's what Gemara is going to explain. So Omer of Yosef, Omer of Yehuda Amar Shmuel, his name Ma Omru Zebni Neman. Why indeed does that work? And it patters his wife from Yibum. The reason is because if the husband says I divorced my wife, and that's another reason should be potter from Yibum, we would believe him because he has a migri, because he could conceivably divorce her right now. So therefore, the same thing when he says Zebni, then he has a migri.
He's saying the migri is that because
the migri is that he could say that he divorced her, and in turn,
current wife.
So in other words, he's saying that my wife should be potter from Yibum. Why? Because I have a son. But he has a migri. He could have said, I divorced her. And in turn, we would believe him to say, I divorced her, because he would have the ability to divorce her right now. However, Omer of Yosef, but of Yosef himself, after having said this later on, Mori d'Avraham, master of Avraham, Rebbeinu Shloim, Toli Tanya b'Deloi Tanya, how could we make something that says in a Mishnah depend on something that does not say in a Mishnah or a Braisa? Now, Rashbam explains, as we know throughout Shas, at one point Rav Yosef became very sick and forgot a lot of his learning. So now he's relearning something that he had learned and taught many years ago, and he's wondering about it and thinking, what was I thinking then? I can't understand the Svara, I can't understand the Svara behind what I myself said. How could you say, why is it that Zebni Neman, that it says in our Mishnah, is because he's believed to say that he divorced her? It never says anywhere in a Mishnah or a Braisa that he's believed to divorce her. So what is this? How do you say something like that? So rather, Rabbi Yosef realizes, rather, if it was said, what Rabbi Yehuda told me must have been like this. Om Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, his name Ma Omru Zebni Neman. Why is it that if he says that this is my son, we believe him? But not because we believe him that he did divorce her. Hoyol of Yodi Lagarisha, because he has the ability right now to divorce her, and therefore, so that's the Migri. So it's not really a two-step, Migri. It's rather just one thing. All it is he has the ability at any time to divorce her before Chayim Derben Gerushim. At least he could divorce her without her consent. So therefore now when he says I didn't divorce her but I have a son and therefore it's not necessary and therefore Yibum is not going to be necessary or even allowed, then we can believe him. Tosfos points out, actually, it's not strictly speaking. I mean, the fact is if he divorced her, she'd be possible to marry a Kohen. Nevertheless, though, it's still a good enough nigger to pater her from Yibum.
85% people are not Kayan.
No, that's right. On the other hand, the author of Yitzchak by Yosef, Amr Rav Yochanan, when Rav Yitzchak by Yosef came from Eretz Yisrael, he said in the name of Rav Yochanan, no, it's not so. Well, Rav Yosef says, now that we say Hoyol of Yod Lagarsha, you know what? He does have the ability to divorce her. In that case, so now on the basis of that, you're right. Baal Shama Gerashti is Ishti Neman. So now also, if he says I did divorce her, we should also believe him Hoyol of Yod Lagarsha. So in other words, Rav Yosef basically is saying logically, we have to flip around the two parts of the Migri over there. Before we said, we can believe him that this is my son. Why? Because we believe him to say that he divorced her. And in turn, why do we believe him that he divorced her?
Good divorce.
We believe in Rabbi Yosef's original statement of what Rabbi Yehuda had said. It was, we believe him to say this is my son, and therefore my wife is Potter from Yibum. Why? Because he has the ability to say that I divorced her. Why does he have the ability to say I divorced her? Because he could divorce her now.
Oh.
Now Rabbi Yosef is flipping it around. He can say this is my son because he has the ability to divorce her right now. Therefore, we can also have a further migoy on top of that, a hoyo, that says because he has the ability to divorce her anytime he wants, therefore, even if he says, I divorced her previously, we would also believe him. But now, ki also Rav Yitzchak by Yosef, Amar Rav Yechanan, when Rav Yitzchak by Yosef came from Eretz Yisrael, he said in the name of Rav Yechanan, no, Baal Shama Gerashki Es Ishti Eina Naman. If he says, I divorced my wife previously, then we don't believe her. Because if he divorced her, there would be a coil about it.
Okay.
So therefore, the fact that there's no coil,
you get to be witness something.
Yeah. So the fact that there's no coil amounts to as if there were Edom that he didn't divorce her, and you can't say a migri against Edom.
How about Yosef Vinz Liam?
Still, there would have been a coil. There would have been something. There would be some kind of. So Menatach Rav Sheshes B'yade. So Rav Sheshes like made a motion like blowing on his hand like there it goes. As if like a person has like a piece of straw or something on his hand and he blows and there it goes. He says, oh, the life, hoyol did Rabbi Yosef. Well, then there goes Rabbi Yosef's hoyol. Rabbi Yosef was basing himself and saying a person could be believed to say that he divorced her because hoyol of a yod of a garisha. Now that Rabbi Yochanan is telling us that you don't say that you don't, because he has a migri, because he could say, or rather that Rabbi Yosef had said, because he says, why do we believe him to say Gerashti is Ishti? Because he has the ability to divorce her now, but now Rabbi Yochanan is telling us he doesn't have the ability to say Gerashti because there would have been a coil. Well, then there goes Rabbi Yosef's hoil. So now Shmuel's hoyol will still be valid. So we can still say that if he says Zebni, we believe him because the Yodil Agarisha, he has the ability to divorce her now. But to extend that, therefore, if he says that in the past I divorced her to believe him, then no, we can't really say that. So the Gemara says, Eini, is that so? Did Rabbi Yochanan really say that? Doesn't Rabbi Yochanan say that if he says, I divorced my wife, we do believe him? And the answer is, like Hashem, kan l'mafreya, kan l'habal. There's a difference between whether he's saying that do we believe him about the past? Do we believe him, for example, so he's saying that he comes to us in Iyar and says, I divorced my wife back in Nisan. That wouldn't mean that we would consider her Megureshes L'mafreya. So now, in other words, let's say Edom come and say that we saw her being Mazana in the middle of Nisan. We wouldn't accept his statement that I divorced her already Rosh Chodesh Nisan to say that therefore she's Potter from Nisa. So because there's no migri, he can't say now in Iyar that I'm going to write a get that retroactively is going to divorce her back in Nisan. It doesn't work that way, so there's no migri. As opposed to Lahabba, to say that from now on, he's saying Girashti Asishi, or even if it was just now, then fine, all that means is Mikano Lahabba, as far as his nurse, as far as Yibum or whatever, so fine, there he has a migri, he could divorce her now, and therefore we can accept it for the future. So that's the difference. So now we have the question, Omer L'mafreya Mahulei Muni Lahabba. Fine, what about a case where he says that it was L'mafreya, where Rabbi Yochanan says we don't believe him, but at least we believe him L'habba. So say, for example, again, he comes to us in Iyar and says, I divorced my wife in Nisan. We're saying we don't accept that as far as if she was Mizana in Nisan. What about, though, at least do we accept it and so far as that it'll apply from Iyar and on? So meaning, if she were to be Mizana later in Iyar, we would accept what he says, and she wouldn't be Chayiv Nisa, or would we say, once we don't believe him about Nisan, then we don't believe him about Iyar, and about from Iyar and on either.
Right now, even Pagulas would drop it.
So we're saying, in other words, that, yeah, we believe him to say Lahabba, we believe him to say, well, so when he says Gerashti Es Ishti, then he has a migri because he could divorce her now. Therefore, if he's saying Gerashti Es Ishti, and she's Potter from Yibum, then fine. But now, if he says Gerashti Es Ishti Mafreya, if he says, now in Iyar, I divorced my wife in Nisan, we're not going to believe him because he doesn't have the migri. He can't say, well, now I have the ability to write a get that will divorce her as of Nisan. It doesn't work. But now the question is, fine, we're not going to believe him as far as Nisan, but are we going to believe him Lahabba? So yeah, would his wife now be Potter from Yibum, and would she be Potter from Nisa, etc.? The question is, would we believe him? Mahu lehimune Lahabba, can we believe him for the future? Do we say that we divide up what he said? What we're saying is we can't believe him as far as Nissen, but we can believe him as far as Iyer and onward. Or Lo Pogin and Dibura, or maybe we don't do that. Once we say that we don't believe him in Lafreya, then we don't believe him in Lahabayir. So the Gemara says Ramori v'Rav Zvid. So Ramori and Rav Zvid argue about that. Chad Oma Pauginen, Chad Oma Le Pauginen. One of them says we could divide up what he says. We can say that we can say that we don't believe him as far as Nissen, and therefore we don't believe him, for the future. The Rashman explains, in other words, according to the Svara, that Loi Pogin and Dibura, the point is, in other words, again, we can't believe him L'Sha'ovar, L'Mafreya, because he can't do it. So therefore, so now, he's only saying that I did it in the past. He's not saying that I divorced her now. So how could we taina for him something that he himself is not saying? Where's the opinion that Pogin and Dibura would say that the opinion that says Pogin and Dibura would say that would say that doesn't matter. The fact is that it doesn't matter as far as L'Sha'avar, but at least L'Habba we should believe him. Mali the Shaker, why should he lie? He could divorce him now. So Mori Rav Zvid Chadam Pogin and Chadam Loi Pogin. Well, the Gemara asks my Shnam and the Rava. In that case, if we're going to say Loi Pogin, if we're going to say that we don't split it up. Once he's not believed L'Sha'avar, then we don't believe him L'Habba either, then why is that different than a din that Rava said? Now, to be sure, the Gemara can answer very simply. That opinion disagrees with Rava. One point is, the Halacha is like Rava, and therefore we would like that this opinion over here should fit according to him. That's Tosfos Reed explains it that way. The Chavis Yer explains differently. He says, Faker, the Gemara evidently holds that Loi Pogin and Dibura, we can't split it up. So the question is then why, in a different case, do we pass them like Rava that we could split it up? So D'Omar Rava, Ish Ploini Baal Ishti, a person comes to Basin and says that Ploini was Mizana with my wife, Hu V'Acham Itztarfen Lahor Goy, then that husband, together with somebody else, can combine together as two Adim to get that guy executed. But Lahor Goy, only to have him executed, V'Loi Lahor Goy, but not to have her executed, because he's possible to give Adis on her, because she's his wife. So we see, therefore, that Pauginim Dibura. So we see that we take what he said, even though necessarily, if she's not involved, then there's no chiyuv mister for the other guy either, but we're still taking his address and splitting it in half and accepting part of it and ignoring part of it. The answer is the trei gufri palginin. When it comes to two different gufim, we could split it up. You have the boil versus the isha. So we're saying you have a complete address about the boil. You can't have the address about the isha because he's her husband. Fine. To that extent, we can split it up. B'chad gufa like palginin. Well, when it comes to one goof, we can't split it up, and therefore we can say that once he's saying, according to this opinion, that we can't believe him on the Sha'avar, that he divorced her previously, that because he doesn't have that nigri, then therefore he doesn't have the ability to say la'ba either. So therefore, in that case, we would say like Paul Ginner, we can't split it up. Once we discount what he's saying la'Sha'avar, then we also have to discount the la'ba. So if he says, I divorced my wife without specifying, then we said he has a migri, because he could divorce her now. But if he says, I divorced my wife last month, and he doesn't have a migri now, because he can't now make a get that would have her divorced last month, therefore, so we're saying that we don't believe in L'Sha'avar for sure not. So if she was Mizaneh and Nissen, no question, she's Chayev Nissa. If she's Mizaneh and Iyer and On, or if she's going to be Chayev and Yibum from Iyer and On, there you have this Machlokas, your Mori and Rizvin.
All stick that there's no coil and there's no get.
So we're talking about that, yeah, if he had a get, yeah, if there exists a get or a coil or whatever, then that's all different, yeah. Okay, so the point is, in other words, so that's that. So but the point is, though, that is why in our Mishnah, when he says Yeshli Ben Neman, because it's based on that he has a migri, that he could have said instead that he divorced her. And why do we believe that he divorced her in the past, and she's also not Chayev and Yibum? So now when he's saying, I didn't divorce her, but she's not Chayev and Yibum for a different reason, because I have a son, then Neman.
That's the
Nikon. That's right. As opposed to our Mishnah had said, if he says I have a brother, so our Mishnah had said Ein and Neman as far as Yerusha, which we're going to take up in the Gemara tomorrow, what the situation is the over there. But yes, but in so far as him saying I have a brother, say therefore my wife is Chayev and Yibum. So as the Gemara has said earlier, there's a difference between whether we didn't know yet whether he had any son, whether he had any brothers or sons, and therefore by default we would have said his wife is Potter from Yibum because there's nobody available to do Yibum with her. Now all of a sudden he says that he has a brother, so we don't believe him because that would be taking her out of her chazakah. as opposed to when we know that when we know that he has brothers, and now he's taking her out of a chazaka and saying I have sons, and therefore she's potter from Yibum. He's also believed on the basis of this mikri.
There's like two things working for him.
So, yeah,
without the brother. Now, but again, if there's people who know, yes, he's a brother, then he's not necessarily.
If he already has people that know he's his brother, there's no chiddush that he's saying he's his brother, yeah.
And then he's believed.
And then, yeah. Then, like this, we knew before that he has a brother, so we knew he doesn't have any children. He's going to have, his wife is going to have to go for Yibum or Chalitza. So then fine, unless he comes and says at some point, Zebni, unless he finds that he has a son after all, then yeah, his wife's going to need Chalitza or Yibum, yeah.
In other words, if other people do know a whole time that he was a brother, then her chazaka.
Then she has a chazaka already, then she's chayiv and yibum, yeah. But even so, if he says Zebni, we're still going to believe him, even against that chazaka, because of the migrant, because of the yodel garsha, because he has the ability to divorce her, yeah.
Wow.
Okay. Shukriya, everyone. And yeah, so